I'd like to welcome you again to our program on the Great Resolutions. And my name is Marty Robert, and I'm here again today with Bill Lawson. Welcome, Bill.
Hi. Good to be back again, Marty, for this another session.
Well, today we're going to cover the story, a little bit of the story of D.L. Moody. I think he's probably one of the most famous evangelists, especially known here in the United States. Of course, Moody's account is very great, and there are so many things written, and he spoke a lot, and he did a great work both here in the U.S. and abroad. But we're not going to be able to get into everything, but we thought we'd pick up a couple of his main burdens. And today in particular, there's one burden that D.L. Moody had that I think is not that well known. Of course, Bill, you know, Moody's name is quite often used in synonymously with the gospel preaching.
Right.
And we know that Moody, of course, was one of the very great evangelists who was given as a gift by the Lord to the church.
Exactly.
And he was definitely greatly burdened for the lost. He really went forth with the gospel. But we also know from reading his biography and other materials that Moody did have another very great burden, and that was more directed to the believers themselves, to the church. And he actually called the church a slumbering church. He felt the church was sleeping.
Right.
And he felt his commission was not only to the world, to the unbelievers, to bring them to salvation, but he also felt really burdened by, from the Lord to wake up the slumbering church, to also become very active in the gospel and bringing the gospel to others. So I think these two great matters we'd like to bring out today in this podcast.
Of course, Moody, like you were saying, Moody is very popular. Dwight Lyman Moody, born 1837 and died just before the turn of the century in 1899. Of course, he's very famous. All kinds of biographies have been written about him and his life and ministry. I have 11 biographies looking at my library here.
Wow, is that right?
So he is quite famous, quite popular. You have the Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I'm here in Connecticut, and Connecticut played quite a role, you know, in Moody too, because Moody was born and raised just north of us. Of course, I'm here in the Hartford, Connecticut area, and if you go about an hour and a half or maybe an hour and 45 minutes straight north of us on the Connecticut River, you come to a little town there in Massachusetts called Northfield.
Right.
It's a few miles from the New Hampshire-Vermont border, as you're saying, most people know him as the evangelist that traveled the world.
Right.
Britain, Scotland. He brought close to, say, maybe a million or so, or 500,000 to a million people to Christ in his lifetime. So he's quite well known as an evangelist, but not that many, like you say, Marty, realize that his burden was not merely to bring the lost souls to Christ, as many as possible,
mm-hmm.
but to wake up the existing church, the believers who already knew Christ, to get them from being slumbering and befuddled, and to get them to preach the gospel as much as Moody did. So that's quite a burden.
Well, I think Moody's burden actually probably originated from the time of his own salvation, because the very man who brought him to the Lord was not that gifted and not that bold, but he was just burdened by the Lord to bring others to salvation, and he was faithful to carry it out. And that was when Moody was a very young man. Actually, he was one of nine children, and his father passed away when he was pretty young. And so it left his mother as a widow to care for these children. And Moody grew up, and he was helpful at home. But eventually, around the age of 17 or 18, he moved to the city of Boston. And he made a promise to his uncle, who was kind of overseeing the family along with his mother, that he would attend church regularly when he moved away. And so Moody did, and he got enrolled in a Bible class. And this Bible teacher, his name was Mr. Edward Kimball. He was a very faithful brother. He was not satisfied just fulfilling his role as a teacher, But he took a real interest in his students and in Moody in particular. And he prayed for him, and he was burdened that Moody would really know the Lord in the inward way and be saved. And so he was determined to come and speak to him. And one day he just went to visit where Moody was working at a little shoe store. And the account in the biography regarding Moody is that this man, Mr. Kimball, walked by his shoe store, and then he began to wonder, oh, I don't know if I really should do this during the business hours. Maybe I'll embarrass him. You know, I think we've all had this kind of experience where we get second thoughts when it's time to preach the gospel.
Right.
But he determined, well, he was here, he was going to make a go of it. And so he just walked into the store, and he found Moody in the back. And he put his hand on his shoulder, and just he said he doesn't remember exactly what he said. He just made a pretty weak attempt at speaking the gospel, just telling Moody that the Lord loved him, and that he was surprised to find that Moody was actually quite prepared. He was ready. And, you know, in the biography it said the light just came and dawned upon Moody, and right there in the back of his store, he gave himself to the Lord, and he gave his life to Christ. Of course, that was Moody's initial salvation experience.
Right.
And this happened by just one small member of the body being faithful to carry out his burden to go take the gospel to one other young man. So I really appreciate the story.
Right, Marty. That no doubt probably impressed Moody that anybody who has Christ is fully qualified to minister that Christ to others. And we don't know either the ones that ministered Christ to us. We don't know how God will use those. He may use them a lot more than us. And that's what happened with Moody. No doubt when Edward Kimball brought Moody to Christ there around, I think, 1855, he had no idea that Moody would be so used by the Lord. So that means that should be an incentive for us to preach the gospel and to speak to our friends, relatives, colleagues, everyone. We don't know how the Lord will move and how he will set others on fire by what we do.
Amen.
It's interesting, Marty. When I lived in Boston, you know, back in the 1970s. I lived there for about 12 years, and I was always curious about trying to find that shoe store.
Oh.
So one day I went downtown Boston, and you know, it's all kinds of buildings and skyscrapers, and I found the plaque on the wall that said D.L. Moody was converted to God on this spot in 1855.
Wow.
I was shocked.
Wow.
Of course, it's no longer a shoe store, but at least they recognized that Moody had a conversion. Of course, they said converted to God, and I didn't like that. They were trying to be Bostonian liberals, you know.
Uh-huh.
But he was not just converted to God. He was converted to Christ. So I found the very place where the shoe store used to be. So I've always been interested in Moody. In fact, about a year ago, I went to his museum up in Northfield, Massachusetts, a beautiful day. And if anybody gets a chance, they should go through that museum. It has all of his memos. And it is quite something. So we have a lot to learn from D.L. Moody. Of course, concerning God's economy, God's eternal purpose, God's goal, he did not see that. But he did use his gift, his talent as much as God gave him to bring so many people to Christ. And surely, Marty, he will be rewarded in the coming age. No doubt about that. Of course, the Lord has gone on a lot more during, you know, with us, but still we should not, you know, poo-poo, you know, Moody saying, well, oh, he just did this and that. But on the other hand, we need to pick up his gospel fire, his zeal, the spirit of the gospel of this man. Even he, you know, committed himself to the Lord that he would speak to someone about Christ every day of his life, and he did that.
Mm-hmm.
So he was very faithful to do that.
Well, it's interesting. You mentioned the spirit of the gospel. We talked about that in our last time with our brother James McKendrick. And it seems like Moody definitely picked up the same fire. He records that one time after he moved on to Chicago, he was in another Bible class and with another teacher who was, I guess, getting a little bit older and was ailing at the time, and he had one regret, that he had never led anyone to Christ. So
Right.
Moody said, "Well, let's just go visit them, and you just tell them how you feel." And so they had some good prayer together, and then they just went house to house and visited these different ones in the class. And Moody said he just personally, he saw one after another get saved and come to the Lord. He
Wow.
said it was through that he said the Lord kindled a fire in him that has never gone out. So really, Moody did have this spirit of the gospel. He was, of course, not that well trained. He did not receive that much education. He didn't go to a Bible school or a seminary himself. He basically learned by getting into the Word. He didn't know the Bible from the beginning. You know, one time he was looking for the Gospel of John in the Old Testament, and he didn't know how to speak that much. He was a little bit rough. His grammar wasn't the greatest, and but he just began to function, and he learned by practicing. And it's very interesting that he records that he realized something right away, that the enemy has a strategy to get him to stop speaking. And I think we've all had this kind of experience and realize that this is true. This is Satan's work. And actually, when Moody first started speaking, someone told him, "You know, you could probably best serve God by keeping still." And that's quite amazing that one of the greatest evangelists would be told that. And someone else said, "Moody, you know, you make too many mistakes in your grammar." And so Moody, of course, he learned how to handle these things. He said, "Look," he told his friend, he said, "Look, you have better grammar than I do, but what are you doing with it for the master?" So he asked people, "Okay, I've got inabilities and shortcomings. You pray for me." So Moody just pressed on and learned and became quite useful in the gospel.
That's true, Marty. I'm glad you talked about this matter of our weaknesses and inabilities and that, because all of us, in a sense, are afraid to speak, where we are terrified about speaking classes in college and that. But Moody overcame that, and I think that's a big lesson for us today. We don't have to be an eloquent, great, orator, to dazzle people with our vocabularies and words, gymnastics. All we need is the love that Moody had, the fire he had, his determination to serve the master. And even though his grammar was terrible, he even had some sisters later on pray for him for that he would have the power of the gospel. They realized after listening to him for a while that even though his grammar was poor, many mistakes, yet there was something there of weight, something of an honesty, a genuineness in his preaching that brought many to Christ. But he lacked the power, the impact. So these couple sisters began to pray for him, and he eventually at a certain period of time, his preaching became very powerful, full of the Spirit, anointed by the Spirit, with the economical spirit of power upon him, and that really changed and revolutionized his preaching. So it's a real lesson for us, no matter what kind of a person we are, educated or uneducated, poor or wealthy, high social status, low social status, still, if we offer ourselves to the Lord, we can be useful to him.
Well, Moody really had this burden, but I appreciate also he's very simple in his approach. And he would, probably one of the main ways he preached the gospel was he would be very direct and just ask people straight out, "Are you a Christian?" And actually, this was kind of interesting to me, Bill, when I came across this, because this is the exact same question that was posed to me when I first became a believer. Someone asked me, Are you really a Christian?" And of course, Moody, we know he made a vow from the early on in his Christian life that he was determined he didn't want to let a day pass without speaking to at least one person.
Right.
And so, of course, there's a story of how one night he's getting ready to go to bed, and he all of a sudden remembered, "Oh, I forgot to preach the gospel today." And, maybe a lot of us would just say, "Oh, well, maybe I'll try again tomorrow." But he wasn't like that. He wanted to fulfill his vow. And so he got dressed and went back out on the street. And it was late at night. The only one he could find was a policeman. And so Moody told him, "You must believe in the Lord." Of course, this policeman apparently was in a bad mood and scolded Moody and asked him, "Don't you have something better to do at this time of night?"
Yeah.
And but anyway, Moody preached the gospel, and apparently a few days later, this policeman came back and did receive the Lord and was saved.
Wow.
So it's quite a testimony that Moody was burdened in this way, and he carried it out. Then another matter was, you know, quite often with the gospel, it's easy to put it off until later. You know, even the Lord addressed this in the gospels. He said, "Don't say there are yet 4 months and then the harvest comes." The Lord tried to encourage us to lift up our eyes and look upon the harvest. They're ready for the harvest. And so Moody, he kind of learned this in the hard way. Bill, I don't know if you recall that story of the Great Chicago Fire.
Oh, yeah, yeah, in 1871, yeah.
He was there preaching, and one night he was sharing with the congregation, you know, he came across the text where the Lord was being examined right before his crucifixion, and Pilate asked the people a question.
Yeah.
You know, what shall I do with this man named Jesus who is called the Christ? And Moody said, "This is a very good question. What are you going to do with Christ?" And so he told the congregation, "Well, you consider this, and next week when you come back, I hope you will have an answer for me." Well, it was recorded that actually that night was the very night of the Great Chicago Fire in 1871, and so many people were lost in that fire that night, and Moody never saw this congregation again.
Right,
and that really actually caused him some pretty great consternation himself, and he really felt bad before the Lord. He asked the Lord to forgive him, and then he determined from that time, every time he would preach the gospel, he would bring people to make a decision there on the spot. Not now. He remembered that verse in 2 Corinthians, now is the well-acceptable time. Today or now is the day of salvation.
That was seared into his being, no doubt, Marty. It's such a, you know, what shall I say, compelling thing that those ones he could never forget. So he began to realize that, wow, whenever I preach the gospel, I have to lead men to Christ immediately without delay. So that, no doubt, stayed with him the rest of his life. As far as theology is concerned, Marty, just briefly, it was interesting. When I went up to Moody's museum up there last fall, talking with that curator there, we had a couple hours. It was marvelous to see all of Moody's things up there. And that, and she just said about his, we talked about his theology, and she said, three R's. Ruined, redeemed, and regenerated. Now, that was good. So I remember the three R's. Moody preached that. Man was created by God, ruined by the fall, redeemed by the blood of Christ, and then regenerated by the Spirit of God. That was Moody's theology. Of course, again, he didn't see that much concerning the church, the body of Christ, God's move, God's purpose, yet he really did a lot with those three R's, ruined, redeemed, and regenerated.
Well, Bill, I think as far as Moody's burden, we know it definitely was for the lost in preaching this gospel. But as far as his burden to awaken the church, I think he considered those verses in Romans 10 that, of course, we have enjoyed often. The way a person gets saved is by calling upon the name of the Lord. But, you know, Paul said, how are they going to call if they don't believe? And how will they believe if they've never heard? Because faith comes by hearing. And then how are they going to hear if ones do not go and preach the gospel to them?
Mm-hmm.
So Moody really picked up this burden. He felt, he began to realize, okay, he himself was somewhat inadequate. He said, I'm probably not the best representative the Lord has. But he mentioned if believers were waiting for someone who is perfect, you're going to have to wait till the millennium arrives. He said he realized he was only one, but he was one. You know, he can't do everything, but he could do something. And he said, by the Lord's grace, he will function. And so Moody was burdened to serve and labor himself, but he also was really burdened to incite and enable many more of the believers to be perfected. He realized when he would go to these big crusades that he could preach the gospel, but he needed an army of ones to work together with him as volunteers to personally lead ones to salvation.
That's really so, Marty. So again, I don't know if you saw anything concerning Ephesians 4:11 about, where Paul wrote to the Ephesians and he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists. But that Paul's heart there is that all the believers would be evangelists according to their measure. Not just the great evangelists, and nobody else can do that, but that the evangelists who are the gifted ones, they should perfect others to do exactly the same work they are doing, only in a different degree.
Well, this is similar to I know Watchman Nee has spoken of this quite often, that he said it's not that a gifted one would be so able to function in his own gift, but the real success is if he would bring others to do the same work that he does. And of course, Watchman Nee spoke that we're like lit candles, and that our responsibility is to not only stay burning during our lifetime, but also to light many others by preaching the gospel to them. And of course, we know in these last number of years, we've have enjoyed the recovery, more the recovery of the universal priesthood, or the function of all the members, that we all can go forth to visit others and impart Christ to them. And this is just should be just a normal part of our Christian living, that we all can function as priests of the gospel.
Very good.
All right, Bill. Well, I think we're running out of time here, so maybe we'll conclude here for today. I know there's so much more on Moody. Maybe we'll have another session on Moody to speak more of some of the riches that were brought forth in his lifetime and in his work. He is quite a pattern to us.
Very good, Martin. Looking forward to that. We probably need another time on D.L. Moody.
All right, Bill. We'll sign off for here. Thank you.